This Israel Report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, Chodesh Tov. Still many, many stories coming out from the hostages and from their families. But what we're seeing in the last few days are the hostages returning to their family homes. And the street parties and the welcome and the flags and the banners and the music that accompanies them when they return home is just something to behold. It's really emotional to witness how excited the local residents of their communities are to welcome them home. Omri Miran to his kibbutz, the Berman twins to their kibbutz, Eitan Horn to Kfar Saba. We saw Elkanah Bochbot return back to his home in Mevaseret Zion, which is just on the outskirts of Jerusalem, and the massive street party. His apartment has quite a large balcony, and thousands of people have gathered in the street outside to welcome him home. First of all, the vehicle carrying him into Mevaseret Zion could hardly move through the street with there being so many people out and the flags waved. And then everybody waited for him to come out onto the balcony once he'd arrived home. And of course, lots and lots of tears. He himself was in a bad state. He was crying so much when he saw the crowd waiting for him outside. And the traditional Gomel prayer, which was recited out to the crowd, and the traditional Shechiyanu, which is recited when you have something new or when you haven't experienced something for quite some time, the crowd shouting in response to the prayers that were made. So all very, very emotional indeed. One of the fascinating stories comes connected to Avi Natan Or, who I've mentioned a few times, Noah Argamani's boyfriend. He also is an engineer with NVIDIA, and he has worked for NVIDIA for some time. NVIDIA, of course, being a multi-billion dollar company. And the CEO of NVIDIA, Jensen Huang, sent a message out the moment Avi Natan was transferred to the Red Cross. And he wrote, "I'm profoundly moved and deeply, deeply grateful to share that just moments ago, our colleague Avi Natan Or was released to the Red Cross in Gaza. After two unimaginable years in Hamas captivity, Avi Natan has come home." Those were the words of NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang. And Avi Natan's immediate superior wrote to welcome him home and to acknowledge the vigil that had been kept by employees of NVIDIA in Tel Aviv every week, turning up outside in the street of Tel Aviv to stand vigil, to protest, to call for him to be returned home, and acknowledged the regular people who turned up at this vigil. He was someone who, there was a huge sign up outside the company office calling for him to be returned home with his picture outside. Indeed, that was the case in many offices in Tel Aviv where people worked, and their pictures were hugely displayed on the outside of the office calling for them to be returned home. And of course, Avi Natan's superior had to mention, saying directly to Avi Natan, "And we have some things to tell you about your share options," because while Avi Natan was in Gaza, on the day that he was taken captive, the shares of NVIDIA were trading at around $40 per share. Mm-hmm. And by the time he was released from Gaza 2 years later, the shares were trading at over $180 per share. So Avi Natan, while he was in Gaza, apparently profited quite well from his share options, which were almost four, were more than four times the value of when he went into Gaza. So just some little snippet
Incredible.
stories still coming out from the hostages and how now they're returning to their homes. And there is just incredible joy and outpouring of love as they all return home to their family homes.
I see that US Vice President J.D. Vance spent the day in Israel yesterday. What did he do?
Well, he made quite a number of statements, trying somehow to keep the ceasefire rolling. He was quick to point out that he thinks that Hamas are doing whatever they can to return the bodies of the hostages, because that clearly is considered to be a violation of the agreement that was supposed to have been completed within 72 hours. But the US administration remains of the view that Hamas are doing everything that they can to return the dead bodies. The Israeli administration saying that they feel that there is a game being played here, because while there are potentially some of those bodies that are more difficult to get access to, there certainly are some that Hamas know about and have readily available and could return if they were trying to stick to the principles of the agreement, which of course Israel believes they're not. So J.D. Vance on the one hand is saying we think they're doing their best. However, if we feel that they're not doing their best, and if we feel that they are purposely not adhering to the principles of the agreement, then the US will support the concept of destroying Hamas right away. Now, one of the other things that J.D. Vance did yesterday was he visited a center in Kiryat Gat, which is not what you would expect the US Vice President to do. And yet, this is a center that is called the New International Command Center for Ceasefire, which has been established over the last week since the ceasefire was established, and is already armed with personnel from a number of different countries, including the US, from the UK, from Canada, from Jordan, and from the United Arab Emirates, amongst others. They are all already in this new international command center for implementing the ceasefire, which is located in Kiryat Gat. And that team of international personnel are currently responsible for taking care of everything related to the ceasefire. Now, the US reported that they sent 200 troops to Israel. They will not allow their troops to go into Gaza. And if any military action needs to be taken care of in Gaza, then the US has made clear that they will not send their troops, but rather they will get troops from other countries. Indonesia, for example, is a country which does not have a diplomatic relations with Israel at all, and yet is now being mentioned as the country that could potentially send some tens of thousands of troops to potentially police a ceasefire in Gaza if we eventually get to that stage. So quite interesting things going on, well below the radar, and things that are not being public being made public. But J.D. Vance was in Kiryat Gat yesterday to visit this new international center for implementing the ceasefire. And of course, he's very keen to support it as much as possible and to support the ceasefire itself. What's interesting is where the Turkish and Qatari troops will also come along and be housed in Kiryat Gat. That remains to be seen. Perhaps they're already and we don't know about it. I'm not sure. But of course, the other US administration officials who were in Tel Aviv yesterday are Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner. Now, they have become instant heroes in Tel Aviv, in Israel, as a result of the work that they did to release the hostages. And Howard, I think we do have to have a conversation about how exactly they managed to achieve that, because the listeners will know that I was extremely skeptical about the prospect of
Gosh, I
all
forgot
the
that, you
live
know.
hostages being
I
released.
could have done the whole I told you so thing and I didn't even remember.
You should have. You should have. And
Damn
I'm
it, there's
helping
an
you now because
opportunity lost.
I'm acknowledging that my skepticism around this has proved to be unfounded, but it has raised for me a question as to how they managed to convince Hamas to release all 20 hostages in one day on the first day of the ceasefire, because it was my view, and it remains my view, that those 20 hostages were Hamas's main lever point. They were the main pressure point that Hamas had, and I feel that having released those hostages, they've lost a lot of that. But what's interesting is that in the interview that Kushner and Witkoff did with the CBS's 60 Minutes, Jared Kushner made the following statement. He said, "We managed to convince Hamas that holding the hostages was more of a liability than an asset." That's what he said. Mm. And they obviously did manage to make that point and to send it home. And so I was trying to internalize how they managed to convince Hamas, because that must have been one heck of an exercise to convince Hamas that these main levers, which Hamas understood were their main pressure points, were suddenly a liability in their hands. And I think that what Kushner was trying to say was that he convinced Hamas that by holding the hostages, they were getting bad press, they were getting negative implications in the international community, which of course for Hamas is a very, very big deal, and that it was costing them dearly to hold those hostages, and that Hamas was never going to be able to get past the war. They would never be able to convince Israel to enter into a ceasefire all the time that the hostages were in captivity. And because I think Hamas was so eager to get beyond the point of fighting the war and wanted to get to the ceasefire so badly, I think that was potentially the main pressure point that Kushner managed to press home to Hamas to say, until you release the hostages, there is no ceasefire. And while there is no ceasefire, there is no opportunity for Hamas to reassert its authority over Gaza and to potentially retain its arms. And I think that those potentially were the main levers. I'm just speculating here now, and I hope that listeners will get involved in saying what they think. Mm. But that really seems to have been the main point, because the moment the ceasefire was implemented, of course, we saw Hamas's intention. They came out of the tunnels, they came out of the woodwork, they asserted their authority, they killed anybody who was opposing their rule. They made statements about they're not going to give up their arms. They're going to continue to be very, very active in Gaza. Those statements have continued day after day. So I think that potentially was the main point. And, you know, all credit to Kushner and Witkoff for identifying that little weakness, pushing it very, very hard, and securing the release of the hostages. I think that was a masterful stroke, absolutely masterful. And I give all credit to them, because I personally didn't think it was achievable.
Mm, mm. It really was just absolutely remarkable, and it really has changed the way we can think about this war. But speaking of that, bodies, two more hostages were returned home for burial. So how many remain in Gaza now?
So we still now have 13 hostages who remain in Gaza after the two were returned home yesterday. The bodies of Tamir Adar and of Ariel Zalamanovic were returned home yesterday. And it was interesting that the two of them were returned home together because they are both come from a kibbutz near Oz. Ariel Zalamanovic was 85 when he was kidnapped into Gaza. He was alive, undoubtedly, when they took him into Gaza. He was kidnapped without his hearing aid and without his glasses, so he couldn't see and he couldn't hear. And of course, his general state of health wasn't good, as a result of which he died, because he just wasn't given the medical care that he needed right away. He was somebody who was one of the founders of Kibbutz Neir Oz way back in the day, and had lived on the kibbutz all of his life. Tamir Adar, who was much younger and a master sergeant in Miluim, but he was killed fighting for the protection, fighting to protect Neir Oz. And these were two members of the kibbutz, one of which was a founder member and one of which was one of the protectors of the kibbutz on that day, both brought home for burial finally on the kibbutz. And slowly but surely, the kibbutz community is managing to take stock and to account for all of the members, those who were kidnapped, those who were killed, bring them home either for burial or to be rehoused on the kibbutz while it's being rebuilt. Our hearts, of course, are very, very sore at the death of two very, very key individuals on that kibbutz, but we're happy that they've been brought home for burial, and we look forward to the remaining 13 hostages whose bodies still remain in Gaza being brought home for the burial that they deserve as well.
Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45 for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.